Dear friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All Saints' Day allows us a very personal way to talk about the present and future by talking about the past. So who are you? Who are you really? And who do you want to be? Those saints from our past give us a way of talking about where we are this morning and where we're headed. So today, you are invited to bring someone with you to this place. And if we could count the number of people that you have brought with you today, this place wouldn't begin to hold them. All Saints Sunday comes once a year, and it cries out for us to take seriously our own mortality. Jeremy Smith, who says he's terrible at gratitude, reminds us that research has shown that one essential element of living grateful lives is almost always accompanied by contemplating and taking seriously life's ending. This awareness, he says, makes us grateful for life. And I say, and I know you know this, life is precious and indeed very short. There's an interesting hymn in our ELCA hymnal. We're not going to sing it this morning. It's number 636, How Small Our Span of Life. And the text refers to spinning galaxies in the universe. And the last words, we thank God, among other things, a hope that sees a life beyond the swiftly passing days. Saints, they're with us, singing and praising and praying, compassionate, nourishing, and sitting with those who have been left behind. I like to imagine them in my mind, and I'm going to use imagine many times today because I want you to think about and imagine with me that they're all gathered, so to speak, in the stands. The 12th man at the clink doesn't hold a candle to those who are cheering us on and encouraging us as we navigate on the playing field and on the stage of life. Now, today's gospel reading, you've heard it before, you'll hear it again some year, is from Matthew chapter 5. And you know how it goes. You've heard it before. In contrast to Moses, who brought the law down from a high mountain, Jesus begins teaching his ministry by bringing blessings up the mountain to the people. And when he sat down, he taught them and said, "Blessed are you." Now, context is everything. Look at how Matthew 4 ends. This is the first verses in 5. Look at how Matthew 4 ends. Jesus goes about Galilee, verse 23, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel and healing all manner of diseases, sickness among the people. And a report goes out in all of Syria, and they brought him all who were sick, those possessed with demons, epileptics, palsies, and he healed them. Now, these past weeks, I at least, and I think Pastor Jan has also reminded you, that the Gospel of Matthew has a hard edge of judgment when it comes to the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. What an anti-beatitude looks like is what Matthew and Jesus feels they might be like. But in the Beatitudes, Jesus stands our world on its head. And this is how it happens. We believe in personal pride. Jesus blesses the poverty of the spirit. We seek pleasure. Jesus blesses those who mourn. How is that possible? We see prosperity of aggressive people. Jesus blesses the meek. We love food and drink. Jesus blesses those who hunger and thirst. So this is important for me this morning. He is, by sharing these Beatitudes, not merely urging a distinctive ethic. Jesus is, I think, inviting me to imagine what it's like in the kingdom of God, and inviting my imagination. And I invite you to imagine what the kingdom of God looks like compared to the kingdom of the world. Each beatitude begins with the Greek word makarios, which is either translated blessed or happy. I like what New Testament Margaret Eimer has translated it, meaning greatly honored. Greatly honored. Now, we live in a culture where the vocabulary of being blessed is most usually accompanied by a benefit. Think about that. Like maybe finally finding a job that we've always wanted. How blessed I am. Or being in the wrong place and nearly having an accident. How blessed I was to take that additional 30 seconds. Or to have good health. Or, just as an aside, to have Browning and Pettis and Gaston on your football team. Not everybody watched or went, I guess, last night, huh? So when we read those Beatitudes, there's a future pull to them. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be. Blessed are the meek. They will. Blessed are the merciful. They will. And so, on this day, we have not lost those who have died. Rather, they live now in the near presence of God, beyond our reach, and yet connected through memory and cared for in the arms of God. There's a North Dakota poet by the name of Jean Formo that says this, and again, picture. She says, death is God carrying us with one arm while the other flings wide heaven's door to welcome us back to the blazing hearth of our first home, while those inside, having arrived before us, rush to the door like glad children shouting, they're here! They're here! Is it possible this morning to look beyond that gospel lesson, beyond just being an informed list of shoulds and oughts, and to use our imaginations to have our eyes seeing God, desiring desperately for blessings for you, and you using your blessings for others. Now, life is messy. It's unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. There was a woman who was shopping and noticed there was a special deal on chocolate chip cookies. There were five in this package. And she said, I'd like to have five. She bought them, went to the food court in the mall where she purchased them, sat down, and just a few minutes afterwards, another gentleman sat down next to her. She was hungry, and so she saw the sack on the table, and she reached in for a cookie. And lo and behold, he reached in for one too. The same thing repeated itself a second time. She had eaten two, and he had eaten two. She didn't know what to say. She was getting more stressed by the minute when the gentleman reached into the bag, divided the cookie and gave her half, and he ate half. That was too much. She hurriedly got up, went out to her car, opened her purse to get the keys, and lo and behold, you know, there was her bag of cookies she had purchased all along. Uneaten. We never know what crazy surprises are ahead of any of us, of how they come. But we do know, regardless of how it is that we experience life, the blessings Jesus lifts up for me this morning are not as prescriptive as they are descriptive. They're not another to-do list. To be blessed means to know you're loved and cared for deeply and forever. And my friends, that's a gift God gives each one of you, regardless of the interruptions you receive or the misinterpretations that you might give to life. And the saints I can think of this morning, the saints I can think of, you have your list, I have mine. Senior caregivers, especially in homes, and foster parents of kids that are just impossible to deal with. The Dawson Place staff, we live up in Everett, and what a marvelous ministry that is to the whole community as it deals with sexual abuse and domestic violence. The nurses and doctors at Harborview looking after Arnie this morning. I could go on. I'd miss Jerry Dumler and Cecily Jones and Arvid Selms and Joyce Dennison. And if I look up in the balcony, I can see Joyce just going like this. She says, time to wrap this up. And so I will. Gerhard Frost was my seminary professor. He was a pastor when I was just a little shaver, this age too. He wrote this. It's entitled Benediction. Preschool, and she didn't like it. Standing in the shadows of the cloakroom, I sadly helped her with her overshoes as the bell rang. With only seconds to think, my mind stumbled and raced. What could I say? Is there no word, O God? Give me one thought to anchor the day, to comfort this child, and to chase a tear away. And then it came. You're blessed, little one. Remember, Granddaddy told you, you are blessed. A quick caress, and she was on her way. No, not quite. For just as she was about to step beyond my view, she turned and with a smile she said, and you are blessed, Granddaddy. Of all the times Gerhardt says, of all the times I've received the blessing, alone or with many others, I remember the best benediction that ricocheted back to me from the heart of a smiling child. Yes, blessing comes in many and often simple ways. So come to the table. Come unafraid to honor someone who helped you make you who you are this morning. And one day, who knows, probably on another All Saints Sunday like this, just perhaps you too will be remembered and honored because you took the blessing and you received and passed it on. Amen.